Shall we pray? Let us pray. Open our ears to hear your word to us today, attentive God. Open our hearts to receive your blessing. Open our hands so we can be a blessing to others. In prayerful anticipation, we boldly ask this in the name and power of Jesus, born to be your Son, our brother, our Savior and guide. Amen. Christmas sure takes up a lot of our time. Since today is the first Sunday of Advent, that signals the first of four Sundays that we devote to preparing spiritually for Christmas, embracing the unique gift of God's love made incarnate in the flesh in the birth of Jesus. Just 3 weeks from tonight, believe it or not, we will celebrate Christmas Eve. On that night, we will offer three services here. Now, Christmas is one day only, of course, but it takes almost 4 weeks of our time to get ready. And as you see and hear wherever you turn these days, since Thanksgiving, we've been in the midst of 32 days where shopping is touted as the most important component of any observance of the holy day of Christmas. For that matter, when it comes to shopping, let's not limit ourselves to 32 days. I know many people, including one I'm married to, who have this knack of keeping their eyes peeled throughout the year in case they spot some item that would make the perfect Christmas gift for someone on their list. And so, yes, Christmas takes up a lot of time. Our celebrations of Christmas occupy us not just on Christmas Day or even just on Christmas Eve, but for days and weeks and even months leading up to the day. How did we manage to make Christmas so complicated, so involved, so overwhelming? And what if we could see beyond the clutter of holiday commitments and immense expectations and bone-wearying tasks? Wouldn't it be nice if we could just simplify all that? Well, that's why for Advent this year, I'm having us focus on one verse of Scripture. A verse of Scripture that every one of us has heard many, many times. A verse we have probably memorized more or less. And I'm focusing on it because this one verse tells us of four blessings that God gives us in the birth of Jesus of Bethlehem. That verse is from the Gospel according to Luke. Now, Luke is one of two Gospels that tells us about the birth of Jesus. The Gospels of Mark and John don't mention the birth of Jesus. Matthew's Gospel is the other Gospel that tells us of Jesus' birth, but Matthew focuses on different aspects compared to Luke. For example, Matthew tells us of wise men, kings, magi, traveling from afar to find the baby born to be the king of the Jewish people. But Matthew never describes any shepherds abiding in the fields, nor does Matthew ever mention a livestock feed trough, a manger for the baby's cradle. And for his part, while Luke's account doesn't mention any wise men, he does tell us of the Holy Family having to resort to that manger for a baby's cradle because there was what? No room in the inn. Matthew doesn't talk about that. Luke also tells us of shepherds coming to Bethlehem from the countryside to find this special baby. And how did the shepherds learn about Jesus? Well, Luke tells us that while they were minding their own business, camping in the fields while they grazed their flocks, while they were out there, they were visited by a messenger from God. Now, in the Greek language that Luke was writing in, the word for messenger was angelos, angel. So what did this messenger, this angel, look like? Luke doesn't say. But Luke wrote that when they were finished with their message delivery assignment, the angel and later his or her buddies, they went back to heaven. Now, over the centuries, artists figured that messengers, angels, would need to have wings like a bird to be able to ascend heavenward. Hence the image that's so common now. But how exactly did that messenger, angel, how exactly did it appear to the shepherds? Did it float down from the sky? Maybe. The Bible doesn't say. But it's just as possible that the angel came walking up the hillside through the grazing sheep. Maybe it simply materialized out of the campfire smoke. However that messenger showed up, it was unexpected. That's why the first thing it said to the shepherds was, "Don't be afraid." And then the angel explains, "I'm here with good news for you, which will bring great joy to all the people." Don't be afraid. Now the shepherds would have had good reason to be afraid. I mean, if they could be completely caught off guard by the approach of this apparently well-intentioned person, perhaps a predator could have sneaked up on their flock. Or a bandit could have sneaked up on them. That messenger, an angel's unexpected appearance, reminded the shepherds that they and their flocks were in constant danger, so the shepherds could never allow themselves to drop their guard. And yet the angel's first words to them were, "Don't be afraid." When's the last time someone said to you, "Don't be afraid"? When you were a novice driver venturing out from a parking lot to the real road for the first time? Maybe as you were preparing to undergo a medical procedure. On your first day at a new school. Leaving your child at college, while taxiing in an airplane. Maybe you said it to yourself, "Don't be afraid." I did. I still remember clearly the last day of our honeymoon, many moons ago. That last day we went to Walt Disney World. And my sister had urged us to ride the then newest attraction. It was an indoor roller coaster called Space Mountain. Is it still there? I don't know.
Yeah.
It is. Okay. Well, at that time, neither Mary nor I had become coaster enthusiasts yet. She still isn't. And when that car launched us down the rails into the darkness of this indoor ride, we were both freaked out. But with my new bride sitting right in front of me, I kept saying into her ear, "It's almost over. It's almost over. It's almost over." Hoping that by saying that, it might reassure her a bit, and hoping that I wouldn't act as afraid as I felt. No fear. That's the first of the angel's blessings. The messenger assured those rustic Judean shepherds that they had nothing to fear from its sudden appearance among them. The angel went on to tell them that God had acted to deliver them, to protect them, to save them. God had sent a Savior in the birth of the Christ, the Messiah, God's long-anticipated chosen one. And at that moment in history, the future of humanity was changed. Our God of love and mercy, our God of wisdom and strength, brought those divine qualities into our sphere of human living in the birth of Jesus the Son. With Jesus born among us, we're saved from having to live in fear. Now, life will still give us reason for concern. War or threat of conflict. Concern about personal safety. Losing employment. Whether we are being governed effectively. Illness or injury or disease or declining function in our bodies. Society struggling to learn how to live together respectfully and cooperatively. How the economy will impact our day-to-day lives. There are always aspects of life that we can't foresee or control that can be a concern, but we needn't live in fear. We needn't ever fear that God has abandoned us, leaving our welfare solely to our own devices and cleverness. The prophetic title given to that Bethlehem baby says it all. Emmanuel means what? God is with us. With Jesus born among us, we are rescued from a whirlpool of worry. Not that we'll always have all the answers, and not that we'll know everything that's going to happen, no. But now we know that God loves us so much that God gave the only Son. It's not like God stands at a distance and smugly says, well, let's see if they can figure this one out. No, God is, what's the term, all in. For us. As St. Paul wrote in Romans chapter 8, if God is with us, who or what can be against us? If God is with us, who can be against us? So as you wade through your to-do list, and you check off your shopping list, and you update your Christmas card list, and you fill your calendar with holiday soirees and get-togethers and programs, take a breath from time to time. And remember the simplicity of that angel's message to the shepherds. Don't be afraid. For that message is also a blessing and an encouragement to us. To live with no fear, not letting fear overwhelm us. Don't be afraid is an invitation to entrust our lives to the guidance and the providence of God who came among us in the infant named Jesus. Amen.